How do you do? Mr. Carl Linley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Correctly with the correct amount.
Atomic batteries to power.
Turbine speed.
Got bat robots hunting down Fat Albert the Cosby Kids.
It sounded good at the time, but I don't see this working out now.
Who the hell are you, anyone?
I don't know.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Long Shot Can.
I see this whole segment going wrong.
Big Papa P.
Just sitting out in the air gathering flies.
There is another dude, I forget.
Den.
You didn't call him a person, you called him God.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Loud Idiots Radio Broadcast, your source for comic books, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, professional wrestling, and all the various and diverse elements of geek culture. So strap yourself to your chair, pull open your ears, and grab your D20 tight, because the show is about to begin.
Leave it to Den to mess that up.
Do. Ray.
I'm the only person in the history of my elementary school to be kicked off the chorus.
God,
you
that
don't
is horrible.
Want me singing.
Collectively, we are the Loud Idiots. It's great to be back. It's been a while. Guys, how have things been?
Doing okay.
Excellent.
I got to tell you, coming back, one of the things I just picked up was the new Disney Infinity. And the last 2 days, I've been locked in my basement like a fiend, playing the hell out of that.
Oh, no.
It's really, really fun. Much money spent.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No.
Somehow, there's some way you must be able to make money with this.
With what? Playing video games?
Yes.
There's sites. You can go out there. People pay you to play video games.
Why? I don't get this economy. America is a joke. Damn it, so are you, Japan. I'm looking at you and your video games, too.
I'm just looking at, you know, Den's experience in video gaming. I don't think he'd make a lot of money for playing.
Nah.
Because he'd get there and be like, where's the Pong paddles?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This guy knows all about gold farming.
On a PC game platform, yeah.
Like EverQuest was like the birthplace of fake gold to real money.
It's the great-great-granddaddy.
It's where somebody figured out you can eBay your crap, eBay your gold for real money.
I've heard that rumor.
Say what?
Oh, people, it's called platforming and plat selling.
Okay.
Where they actually will go in-game... get very rare items. They'll camp these camps, get the item, sell it for exorbitant amounts of plat, and then sell the plat in real life money on eBay.
Are you saying you've heard of that as like the way an Italian American says, "Oh, I've heard rumors about a mafia."
I can neither confirm nor deny
any
allegations placed before me about said manner implied or not implied.
That was a Nixonian I've heard of, wasn't it? Okay.
No flashlights.
Man.
Oh, Watergate humor.
Never gets old.
Oh, no. Got old long time ago, actually. Really old.
Water gay humor. Why did I come back?
For the Watergate.
No, I didn't.
Tune in for the bad jokes. Stay for the Watergate humor.
God.
That's the same thing.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff, some of the stories that we didn't get to talk about during the break. I think one of the most important for me actually was the passing of Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh man,
yeah,
that was a tough one.
Yeah, like a ton of bricks.
Completely unexpected.
Yeah, you know. And I remember Pete was the one who actually told me about it that evening, and my first reaction was, well, I'm pulling out my Piper discs.
Yeah,
and I wound up, you know, crying actually watching the interview with Piper. I'll admit, I actually kind of started weeping a little bit.
I remember I was right before I called you. I was on the road on the Garden State Parkway going down to the Jersey Shore.
Yes,
and I got a little notification on my watch from the WWE Network.
Did Dick Tracy tell you about it?
No, I live in the 21st century, okay. Ken. Our watches get notifications.
I thought it was just a guy in there going, Pete Monty, come in, Pete Monty.
I don't understand what this Dick Tracy thing is you're talking about. Have they ever made a movie of him?
Yes.
Oh?
Several.
Who played him?
Oh, Warren Beatty.
Who the hell is that?
SOB still has the rights to the movies, actually. I wish he'd do something with them.
Yeah, hold your breath.
So,
don't tell him to do that.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe. Maybe it's a way to have the rights go back out there somewhere.
Does Alec Baldwin have the rights to The Shadow?
No, Raimi, I think, got him back.
Oh.
Raimi had them for a while, lost them, and then made Darkman. And then they wound up going to...
Didn't Darkman come out around the same time as The Shadow?
No. Actually, Darkman came out around the same time or the year after Batman. The first, the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
I thought that was about the same time The Shadow came out.
No, that was 94, 95.
Shadow came out a couple years earlier.
No, Shadow came out a couple years later.
Later?
Yeah.
Shadow came out a couple years after Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I think Darkman came out in 90 and The Shadow came out in 95. So, you can IMDb, you can go on IMDb
all
that.
This is ridiculous.
I believe I'm right though. So, if I'm right, then make sure to let us know that Ken was right again. No, Roddy Piper.
It's a deeply held belief, like the belief that the sun circles the earth.
Yes, yes. I'm still a firm believer of that. No, going back to Piper. Anybody have any memories or moments with Piper that they would want to recall? I mean, all I can remember, one of the first big things, I mean, especially being a kid, and I've always loved the bad guys, so I always related to Piper, I think, more than Hogan. But hearing that music hit, hearing the bagpipes hit, knowing that Piper was coming to the ring, which is one of those awesome things.
He wasn't overly big, okay? He sure as heck wasn't small. He was solid. But what I always loved was the look of glee that came on his face when he got into the middle of chaos.
Yeah.
He was happy.
He loved stirring the pot.
And I loved it. Yeah.
He loved stirring the pot.
And people underestimated how intelligent this guy was. And he's still the everyday guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was never as into Piper as you guys, especially as a kid. But I remember getting a huge amount of respect for him as I got older and watched those guys, watched like the later stuff.
Right.
He was
Well, are you talking later WWE or later WCW?
Later WWE after WCW.
Okay.
Was when I started, you know, right around the time they eventually inducted him into the hall. And he would do occasional guest spots. I think there was a string where he was doing semi-regular appearances.
Right,
if I remember correctly. And I really enjoyed him then. As he was able to just, you know, get a, you know, he just let him have fun.
Yeah.
Basically. So I really appreciated the body of his work then.
I always thought it was interesting too, because I mean, most of his career, he was known as the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really kind of had him and Flair that would go on record as, you know, saying, I'm the bad guy. I'm here and I'm the bad guy. Which made me forget for a while too, when he went to WCW, Do you remember the role he played in that?
I do not.
He was commissioner. He actually was one of the face of WCW when the NWO was in power. So essentially, the roles reversed, where Hogan was the bad guy, and all of a sudden Piper became the knight in shining armor trying to save the company, which I thought was really interesting. Looking back on it, because I never thought about it when it was happening.
Well, fight badass with badass.
Yeah, well, take the
it's brilliant.
Take the guys that were always, you know, at beating heads together, and then just
have them
swap
keep
the
beating
roles.
Heads, but swap the roles,
and it worked. I mean, I still say to this day that Piper's the reason why Hogan has the career and the accolades that he's known for in the ring.
But I'd say the fact that they took him and put him as the hero against Hulk Hogan's villain. But they didn't have him change his personality that much. Hogan, when he went from Hulk Hogan to Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Well, by that point, you had no faces, no real face.
Yes,
that's
kind of my
point.
So you had
to go with the anti-hero.
That's what I'm kind of getting at. I think, because it was slightly before that. I mean, Hogan turning heel was the huge, like, nobody saw that coming.
No, no one.
And it was a huge change in persona. But when you bring in Piper as his antagonist, as the good guy now, but Piper didn't change his personality, I think that was one of the things that really kicked off the whole anti-hero thing. And suddenly your heroes didn't have to be that good.
Right.
They could be edgier.
Going back to it, I think someone had said earlier, the idea of fighting a bad guy with a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So
fight evil with a different kind of evil.
Or you have Vince, you know, saying that he's going to inject poison into, you know, the NWO.
Well, he never... No, into WWE.
Into WWE. But yeah, it's just... you can't forget the Jimmy Snuka coconut incident.
No.
You know, there were so many great...
De-coconuts.
Go ahead.
That would be a great segue if you want to go there.
No, I'm keeping this as a tribute to Piper and not where things have led lately.
Okay.
The shenanigans this guy pulled off with Piper's pit.
Oh, yeah.
Were nothing but even the tip of the iceberg compared to what he did off mic on his own mic.
Yeah.
You know, some of the best interviews, you got to go out there and hit the media and look them up. This guy was slightly insane and completely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I would put his psychotic ramblings maybe just below the Ultimate Warriors.
You know, and you got to remember, too,
if
I
only
mean,
because they were
I guess
slightly
I got
more
just
focused.
Enough Scots in me because I follow him very well.
Oh, no. Don't. It's not about how well you can understand what he's saying or follow him. It's just they were psychotic at times.
You don't throw stones at a man holding a machine gun?
No, I don't.
You know, I'm wondering how much of that actually came from his own personal life that he actually went into. I mean, because I'm sure we've heard the stories.
How many times he was holding a machine gun and people were throwing stones
at
him?
Oh, absolutely.
And like, wow, this is a really bad idea. Bam, 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 bam.
But I'm sure we've heard the stories about his upbringing. I mean, Dan, I'm sure you know. Pete, I'm sure you've heard the story. He was actually living on the street by himself by the time he was 14 years old.
Mm.
You know, part of the reason why I think he was so good in They Live and Carpenter realized it when they were talking was because Piper actually lived that lifestyle. He would go from place to place and travel.
Shooting aliens
that
he could only see because of his magic sunglasses.
In search of bubblegum.
Forcing people to put those glasses on. Yeah. But no, I mean, tough upbringing, you know. He was orphaned. Well, he left home, actually. His parents were never really there. He left home and was actually pro wrestling by the time he was 13, 14. So, I mean,
well, that's just
that had to
in
be
most states.
That had to be a hell of a life. And then how much of that was brought to his rants on Mike? You know, and that's where I was going with it.
It's like after 2 to 3 hours of a single, you know, you don't even know how many breaths this man managed to squeeze in. I always expect him at the end. He goes, "That's another matter." Or some.
Did you say breaths?
Yeah. Breaths.
I had to. Yeah.
Because I honestly, I
you ever
I
seen heard, this man breathe?
No, 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 no. That's not it. That's not it. I thought you were talking about how many breaths the man managed to squeeze.
Peter,
and I was, and when you followed that with the word "in," I was like, "Wait, what?" Oh, oh, breaths, breaths.
No, the inhalation of air.
Ah,
I think the show coming back to shows tonight has got Pete a little girl crazy, because if you listen to Near Mint, there was something similar that went on.
Look,
with just, him in anatomy tonight.
You can't allow me to have one night of screaming the word breasts over and over.
Hey,
please.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just going to call you on it when you do. That's all.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now that we've identified it. Go on, young man.
I don't
man.
Think it's
go
a classy on. Thing for you to do, but, you know, whatever. Your choice.
So, no.
Your choice.
Okay.
Yours alone.
Piper will be missed. Like I said, Piper will be missed. We lost a legend. We lost an icon. And I'm still kind of mourning a little bit. But I was glad that we were all kind of able to get together, even after the fact, to kind of reminisce a little bit. Because that was one of the things I did miss that we didn't get to do together when everything happened.
I was happy that Ronda turned around and dedicated her match to him and won handily.
Yeah, and Piper gave her the name, essentially. Yeah. He passed the torch to her, which I thought was awesome. So, any other news anybody can think about that might have gone on while we were...
Well, as long as we're down in the dumps,
okay.
I will. I would like to point out Yvonne Craig.
Yes. Yes, we...
TV's Batgirl.
Yep. Yep.
You will be missed. Always classy lady.
Very, very classy. Actually, I don't know if you guys were there. I actually met her at a convention in Jersey a few years back.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to get an interview or anything, but got to spend some time with her. And Pete, you summed it up. Very, very classy. Very classy.
Classier than Freddie Blassie.
My favorite green-skinned alien on Star Trek.
Second for me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rachel...
Didn't know that bit.
What's her name from the J.J. Abrams movie?
No, Big Show from Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
I think you and I might have different criteria as to what makes our favorite.
Okay.
But
nice. All right. Good to know.
It's not sexual for me.
Or maybe it is.
A little bit.
Really? Because according to our earlier conversation, it has potential.
He likes breasts. He didn't say on what.
Okay, fair enough.
A bun. Right.
Dan, anything that you can think of too that might have gone on while we were away?
Nothing spectacular.
Yeah. Okay.
No Ant-Man movies.
Yeah, actually, I saw Ant-Man. Y'all see Ant-Man?
Yeah,
I saw Ant-Man.
Did you enjoy Ant-Man?
We did not get to talk about it, so go ahead.
Did you enjoy Ant-Man?
I did.
Okay.
I did enjoy Ant-Man.
I too enjoyed Ant-Man.
Now, how important is this, the premise of Ant-Man, going to be going forward?
It depends on where they decide to go with it, because there's like a gaping kind of thing that I'm sure they're going to cycle back to about as to what happened to Hank Pym's wife.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how much of an impact, if they visit it, that will have on the future of the Marvel films, or at least, teams moving forward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've established, too, whose side Ant-Man's going to be on in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Well, that's assuming he answers
like
the Falcon's
that.
Call.
Yeah.
That was a great bit.
That was nice. That bit with,
I know
with Sam Wilson.
Well, let me ask you.
Well, even the fight was awesome, I thought.
That was one of the best well-thought fights I saw, taking into account the abilities of everything presented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I actually
was a little ashamed for Falcon. I got to admit, like, dude, you got schooled.
You got owned.
You bring that up, and my thing after that was, you knew that you were going to have the big showdown between Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man by the end, and I was kind of concerned. Well, God, I mean, we've seen this already. How is this fight going to go down, and is it going to be memorable? And actually, I thought even that was a kind of cool take of how they did it and how it all went down.
And even though they used it in all the trailers, I loved the train thing.
See,
the being stuck on the tracks. I thought it was hilarious.
You know what?
Especially the arms.
I didn't care for that. But
I'm a big Papa on this.
What got me was what happened to the train later.
Okay, you liked that?
When it blew up and it took out the roof of the house.
Yeah, that was pretty good too. All around, I think it was one of the best uses of a superpower.
Yeah.
In the movies.
From the beginning, when he shrinks down and goes into the sink.
Yeah.
I mean, the tub. I was like, man, this is awesome. Now, did you guys do 3D or not?
I did 3D.
Oh, no. No.
You know what? Surprisingly enough, I mean, listen, I praise 3D. I like 3D. But I got to tell you, this might have been some of the best usage of 3D in a movie that I've seen possibly ever.
Easily.
You know,
that's high praise.
Especially like where how the effects work and him riding the ant and him being as small as it is, but he's huge in front of you where how the perspective works.
Right.
And then the guy behind him. So it was really cool use of perspective with the 3D.
Okay.
I really did like it. Now,
I think one of the biggest things about the movie that they wanted to catch on but just didn't was Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony
I like
was just
Anthony.
I didn't have enough time to develop an emotional connection to Anthony.
That was my problem too, I think.
I honestly felt like I needed more time to be distraught about the loss of Anthony.
My problem was as soon as he named Anthony,
he's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that was where I went as soon as it happened.
Unfortunately, I agree. I saw that one coming a mile away.
I was very.
But I like the little girl feeding the ant underneath the table.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually very impressed with Michael Douglas. I did not think his role was going to be as big as it was.
And I was afraid if it was as big as it was, he would be a scene stealer. He wasn't.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, I go back to some of the older comic book movies when they did the stunt casting of names to try to get more people in the seats. You know, when you look at Spawn, when you had Martin Sheen in it, Jor-El being cast by Marlon Brando,
Jor-El as Russell Crowe,
and a lot of time when those actors are brought in, they're brought in for the name, but they tend to chew a lot of scenery. Like they really ham it up.
Jor-El.
Yeah, they really ham it up. And I was really appreciative of how reserved Michael Douglas was and how he played into it and didn't go over the top and actually was very straight in playing the character.
Mm-hmm. He was actually a little bit better, I think, than Anthony Hopkins as Odin. I think Anthony Hopkins ventured a little into the scenery chewing.
Exactly, yeah. There were a lot of times where he was booming
a
lot.
He really didn't distract from Thor much, I don't think, but he got a little hammy with his role.
A little.
Absolutely not for Michael Douglas.
You know,
I agree with you on the other.
Well, you disagree with what? Hopkins? My assessment of Hopkins? Or,
yes.
Okay.
Go back and rewatch Thor.
I have, many times.
Okay, go back and watch it again after this conversation.
Now that I've said that Anthony Hopkins chews the scenery.
A little bit.
I do believe there is a scene in his trophy room where he is actually gnawing on one of the pillars.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
It's during one of those.
That's Sir Anthony Hopkins.
I know, but during one of those little exchanges between Thor and Loki, you could see a reflection of Odin in one of the shields, and he's actually just gnawing on one of the pillars.
You know what? The sad fact is, now I'm gonna next time I watch it, I'm gonna be looking out for something silly like that.
Yeah, you're gonna be checking all the reflections in the shields.
Wait, what's that? No, okay,
and. The saddest thing about that is that this is going to be you will have watched the movie so many times that devoting an entire viewing to watching that is nothing to you.
Maybe.
All right. Well, how about one last thing on Ant-Man, and that was Paul Rudd's portrayal. I was kind of leery of hearing about it, 2 years ago when they were talking about it. I was just kind of curious about your guys' take on how he portrayed it.
I think he portrayed it excellently and that he evolved into the role. However, we need to see him step it up.
Okay.
So, continuation in the Marvel Universe, in my opinion, he's got to be smarter, more aggressive thinking, and more aggressive in action.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that he needs to do any of those things. When I first heard about his casting, I was somewhat concerned because I know the kind of roles he can do in terms of comedy and ridiculousness. However, I also know knew that he was capable of doing the slightly more serious stuff. And so I had faith that it could be done if directed right. I think it was directed exactly perfectly for the film. I think it worked beautifully. I still have big concerns about how he integrates into the Marvel Universe at large and how he's going to match the tone of the other movies. But I don't think it's, I still have faith that it's going to be good. I mean, when you think about it, trying to match Thor and Captain America and Iron Man together was kind of weird when they did it in the Avengers, but it worked out.
Right, right.
So I have faith that Ant-Man's going to work his way into there. Okay.
I thought about it after I saw the film and I was like, I knew when they announced it, I had this feeling, I'm like, I don't know. You know, it just seems like weird casting. And then I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, wait a minute. There was something like this back in 1989 when they decided that they were casting Michael Keaton as Batman. And
who the hell are you? I'm Mr. Mom.
And I mean, I thought Keaton slayed it. I thought he was great. You know, and I guess that's why I wasn't as overcritical with Paul Rudd. I just thought it was a weird choice. And I think he did a great job. I mean, considering the material. So.
Ooh. Ow.
No, I mean, it was written to be more lighthearted.
I mean, that sounded like...
humorous.
I'm sorry, it sounded like you were praising George Clooney as Batman there.
Okay.
That's what I usually say about George Clooney as Batman. It's like, he did a good job considering the material.
Right.
I mean, you know, he was given a pile of crap to say, and he did his best. I don't think that was the case with Paul Rudd. I think Paul Rudd was given a pretty good movie, and acted it the way it was supposed to be acted, and the result was a success.
Yeah, no, like I said, with the material. Because, I mean, if you look at it, look at Thor, look at Iron Man, look at, you know, Captain America. Could you see Paul Rudd playing Captain America?
A little bit, yes.
Really?
A little bit.
There is something totally wrong with you.
No, not really.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you see Paul Rudd playing Captain America well?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see it happening. I don't think he would be the best choice, but I can see it working.
All right.
I wouldn't have a problem watching a Captain America movie where Paul Rudd played Captain America.
All right. I beg to differ.
I can see him more as a Bucky, but...
Okay.
I can definitely see him doing the voice of Captain America in something like Captain America: The Brave and the Bold. You know, like that Batman, that cheesy Batman cartoon that they did recently. If they were to do a cheesy Captain America cartoon, I can see Paul Rudd doing a good job as Captain America. I can see him faking the upstanding noble hero in a convincing way.
Okay.
But it would have to be a very comedic take on Captain America.
All right. All right, cool. I've got nothing I can say after that.
I know the guy can do all... is a very diversified portfolio. He's better known for his humor, but I enjoyed him in the Halloween, you know?
I'm sorry, you enjoyed him in what?
Remember him in Halloween?
Yeah, actually, I just watched it again, and that was a horrible movie.
But I enjoyed his performance.
Go back and watch it again, Dan.
Which Halloween was this?
It was Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Most of them are.
I just watched it again over the weekend, and his acting is atrocious.
It is?
He is so trying to play creepy, but he's trying to oversell his character, and it's not believable at all. Actually, I was watching it Saturday night. It was his first major role. And I said to myself, how did this guy get a career after this movie? It was really that atrocious.
How would you say that performance stood up to the Balky test?
If Balky was in the role,
would it be better or worse if Bronson Pinchot was instead playing that role?
As Balky.
It's or was entirely it just Bronson Pinchot? Subjective.
Okay, that is a good one. I would have to say, no, I don't think anything could have saved that movie. I don't think anybody. Yeah, I don't think anybody would have helped.
No, it's not about helping the movie or anything. It's would Bronson Pinchot have done a better role, a better job in that role?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Oof, that's a low blow. Paul Rudd, send your hate mail to Ken Smith, care of Nonproductive Studios.
Wow. Poor Serge.
You know what? I think he would agree with it. He didn't show up for any of the reunion conventions. So yeah. So all right. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna discuss what we did on our summer vacation. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bravest little hobbit of them all. Now hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below, to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. That brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo,
Bilbo,
Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
All right, we are back, Loud Idiots Radio Show. I don't know why I decided to go with Leonard Nimoy singing the ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
I'm pissed.
Why?
I'm pissed. I apologize. I apologize. I know he's dead. You know, we should be respectful or anything. But hey, Nimoy. Spoiler alert.
He
basically just spelled out the plot of the entire dang book.
Big Papa hasn't finished it.
Yeah. Now, some of us are still reading this. I mean, some people still haven't read it.
All right, so what is the shelf life before we can not say spoiler alert anymore?
No, you always have to say spoiler alert.
Okay. I guess
always.
So. Always?
Always.
All right, well, I guess we upset Big Papa.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot sometimes, but we did.
Not at all. I thought 75, 82 years
would
have been enough, but no, I guess he just hasn't gotten around to it.
I think they should be doing that in church with the Bible.
Oh. You know,
spoiler alert, he gets better.
Who does?
Huh?
Who does?
Well, I don't want to do too much of a spoiler.
Oh, I've ruined it.
There's a couple of guys.
Okay.
There's a couple of guys in there.
All right.
Sorry, Ned Stark dies. That was the Bible,
dude,
right?
Dude.
Huh?
Too soon.
Too soon. Spoiler alert.
We knew. You didn't know.
Where was the spoiler alert?
Huh? Everybody knows that Iron Man's dad dies.
Oh, man.
No.
Really?
That's a given.
Really?
How else does he become Iron Man? He watches his parents shot in front of him in the alleyway.
There's a pearl necklace, if I recall.
No, that was just the vivid version.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Music.
That was for both of you. So, all right. So, yeah. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Happy to be back?
Welcome.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, the door's over there.
Ecstatic.
Let's start off. Let's catch some of the people up on what we did this summer during the break.
Actually, I have a tidbit.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
I can't help this. I briefly mentioned it earlier. Are you aware there is a Transylvania University?
Yes.
I guess.
Okay.
In what used to be Transylvania?
No, in the United States.
Wait, there's a Transylvania University.
In the United States.
I was aware of this. You mentioned it 15 minutes ago.
Actually, it's something like 42, but...
Okay.
And it's been around for over 100 years. A former vice president is a graduate of it. When I saw that in his portfolio, I was like, what? And pursued it. I was like, this is really cool. I wonder if they do online.
Can you share what former vice president attended?
Unfortunately, I forgot.
Oh.
It started with the president, I saw his vice president, and underneath the vice president's name happened to have been the college he went to, and it said Transylvania University. I'm like, what?
Was it Mondale? Was Mondale vice president?
No. Well, he was, but...
Yeah.
So I pursued it. I thought that was kind of fascinating.
Really?
Yeah, but can you imagine if they had online courses? That'd be awesome.
Blood-sucking 101.
Degree, get a degree, though, from Transylvania University. And it's legit.
From Professor Vlad.
Now, that'd be a reason to change a name,
do you,
man.
Do you have any idea how we can reach out to them and get more information? Do they have a phone number?
Odds are, but I don't, unfortunately. I do not have
Ken anything. Knows. Ken, what's their phone number?
If you could listen to the underbed playing, it would be Transylvania 65,000.
Well played, young man.
No. Transylvania 65,000 is never well played.
Hey.
He had a skin condition.
That movie is one step above Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yeah. And I
no,
like
literally, it was one step above Earth Girls Are Easy in the video store down the street from us. And two over from...
The Fly?
Huh? No. The Adventures of Jimmy Reardon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going with Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis vehicles.
That's not how they organized the damn... You don't remember anything about video stores, do you?
What is a video store?
Yeah, what? Qu'est-ce que c'est?
I'm old. I remember when people weren't kind and didn't rewind.
isn't that just opening up the player and pulling the disc out?
Did y'all see this in the theater?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't
realize.
You're
talking about Transylvania 65,000?
I took a date on this.
I didn't realize this was awesome.
I missed the... I would have had the best comeback if I thought about it quick enough. Did you see this movie? Yes, yeah, when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like in the movie. Have you ever seen the movie, Pete?
It's been a long time.
Michael Richards on the little coin-operated horse you'd see outside of a... grocery store. And it was, I think Ed Begley runs in. He's like, hey, have you seen Dracula? Yes, when it first came out.
Yep.
Anyway, so let's get back. Summer vacation. Actually, based on that, now, Dan, I'm going to start with you. What did you do on your summer vacation in the couple of, in the many weeks that we were off?
Well, I was goofing off trying to repair a couple things around the house, and WD-40 wasn't removing the bolts, which got me thinking. I'm like, all right, I need something more corrosive. So I sat down, thought about it, pulled up everything I could on the internet.
Axis Chemicals wasn't available.
Nope, nor Acme. Yeah. But I found a whole bunch of useful things, and I figured it out. Moonshine is a secret ingredient. Put a little dab of that in with it. Nothing happened.
So you went out to your still in the backyard.
I shall neither confirm nor deny the existence of said. And nothing happened. I'm looking at it, and it was a pretty thick jar I'd put it in. Only about an ounce of the concoction, clear as can be. I said, what the heck? Went back inside, grabbed myself some water, came back out, and picked up the jar, and there was nothing in it. There was no bottom in it. I had invented the perfect acid. It had turned around, and it had eaten through it, the rock base underneath, and it was slowly eating everything else, going straight down. I was like, man, I invented the perfect acid, but not something to put it in. As far as I know, it's just heading on down south. Straight line. Thankfully, it's not getting bigger like the blob or anything. And thankfully, it was only 1 ounce.
Are you sure it was that, or was it the xenomorph that you had trapped in your spare room somewhere?
I shall neither confirm nor deny the existence of said xenomorph.
Have you gotten some fence or something to put in the hole? Cover up the hole?
Oh, no. I just put a rock over top of it.
You might want to get like a fence or something and just secure that rock really good, because you don't want any Laotians climbing out of there later.
good point. Or Morlocks, from what I hear.
Oh, the Chuds will eat them.
Oh, if you can get if they can get their head out the hole, they have no collarbone, so the rest follows.
No. Oh, it doesn't work that way.
Some days you just can't get rid of a Chud.
No.
Oh, Batman.
Oh, man, it sounded like you had a big problem on your hands.
They've got fangs.
You're actually here instead of dealing with it?
He put a rock on it.
I put a rock on it.
All right.
Good job, Croc.
I even borrowed the wife's lipstick, put an X on it, too, so nobody moves it.
Oh, my God.
Now you're just going to spend your time coming up with a universal symbol that generations in the future will understand.
If it taps into a spring, we have an artesian well. Never know. Always look on the bright side, gentlemen. Spring water.
Well, if you want to sell it nowadays, target the hipster market, you better make it an artisan well.
Good point. Know any artists?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wait. Michelangelo.
Raphael.
Donatello.
Will they do those big motifs?
No, but they'll
Pagliacci.
But they'll carve the hell out of your pizza.
pizza.
Stupid Little Caesars jokes. Wait, what?
Well, I gotta tell you, this break has had me very, very tired. I'm even still tired after the ordeal that I went through. What a lot of you guys don't realize is we've actually been doing shows the last couple of weeks.
I didn't realize that.
You wouldn't.
Oh.
What happened was I wound up going to my high school reunion recently.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I had no shocker, had a little too much to drink.
Yeah.
And decided to walk home
because
it wasn't that far.
Mm.
And I noticed like this huge light comes down on me. I'm looking up and I'm realizing it's a lamppost, and all of a sudden I'm getting lifted up out of the air.
By a lamppost?
No, by something else. I still have no idea what it was, but as it brought me up, you ever see Howard the Duck?
Like
the movie?
The movie. Oh, not the duck.
No, like the movie Howard the Duck.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen both.
I got sucked up and into like some sort of hole and came back down to Earth.
As an egg?
Where I realized that everything was... No, not at all. Everything was different, dude. Like, all those weeks that we did the shows didn't actually happen here. So, actually, I guess you guys weren't part of it. But I just wound up spending, like, 6 months instead of 3 months.
Hanging with who?
I have no idea. A lot of it was a blur. And a lot of that was drinking. What?
Did we look like ducks?
No, you guys were you.
Oh, okay.
You guys were definitely you, just not you, I guess. Does that make sense?
No.
No.
Kind of, no.
I don't know. All best I can explain was I think it was an alternate reality universe thing. I have no idea. Could I have be. No idea.
Was Famke Janssen there?
No.
Oh, then it wasn't an so alternate universe. Can't,
I don't, yeah. That no, really I, does no, no.
Famke
theory.
Janssen is in all the alternate universes.
Yeah.
I was going to say if she wasn't, then my story has to be real because why?
Oh, well, that's even worse. Well, Famke Janssen's in our universe, so we're the alternate universe. Hold it. Hey.
Yeah. Think about that for a minute.
Any TARDISes?
I wish. That would have made life a hell of a lot easier.
Oh, my God. I do have to say, I went to Renaissance Fair this weekend, and I overheard one of the funniest things.
Okay.
Please tell me it came from someone in a Star Trek uniform.
No.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Slightly better, though. And I was amazed I only saw one doctor.
Okay.
But this is a doctor joke. And what didn't come from the one person dressed as the doctor? It came from somebody... I was waiting online to use the Port-a-Johns.
I still can't believe that, like how weird that is that people do that. Like, they'll dress up as one of the doctors from Doctor Who, and they do the alien Ren thing, and go to Ren Fair. And
incredibly annoying myself, but whatever. This person, there was a girl ahead of me who went to go into one of the line of Port-a-Johns, which were all blue, I should point out.
Awesome.
And she walked in and took a step into the Port-a-John, then turned around to her friends who were waiting for her and said, "Hey, TARDIS." and disappeared inside.
Oh, she's so like, wrong.
No preface, just "Hey, TARDIS." didn't pause for laughter. Straight in. But that's not really what I did on my summer vacation.
Okay.
Not my summer vacation.
Wait, you didn't go to the Ren Fair during the vacation?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
That's not my story. I didn't. That was like the most exciting thing, and it happened this weekend. Apart from that, I spent most of my summer bear hunting.
Oh.
Yeah. Bear hunting. Just hunting things. Bare naked.
Oh, wow.
In Philadelphia.
Huh.
Philly?
Yeah.
Why Philly? I mean, we got bears here in Jersey.
I'm not hunting bears. No, he is hunting. Bear.
But you said anything. I mean, there's...
Big Papa doing a la natural.
So what was in Philly?
I'm just hunting stuff.
Anything in particular in Philly?
Just stuff. That's the nice thing. If you
Philly,
go hunting
you can find
in Philly...
a little bit of everything.
If you go to Philly and you're hunting, you really the odds are in your favor that you're going to shoot something that deserves it.
I'm not touching that one.
They threw batteries at Santa Claus, Ken. They freaking bludgeoned Santa Claus with D-cell batteries.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Okay.
Was that a ball game?
Huh? That's a true story, actually.
Was that a ball game?
Huh? That was a football game.
Yeah.
The Eagles fans.
Leave it to Eagles fans.
Yeah. they brought Santa Claus out for the halftime entertainment, and it was like D-battery night for some reason.
Wow.
All I can think of is basketball. What a hell of a thing to happen on Dozen Egg Night.
That's what it was inspired by. I'm not even making... That joke was inspired by the fact that on D-battery night, the Eagles were crapping the bed something fantastic.
What? I'm trying to understand what inspires D-battery night? Why would you do that? Like what?
I don't know. Maybe it was sponsored by a vibrator company. I don't know.
I was thinking, was it for flashlights perhaps? I don't.
That might be. All I know is they were distributing D batteries.
Oh my God!
And they brought out Captain America. No,
Santa Claus.
Shut up! Nobody's supposed to know they're the same guy.
Guys, all right.
That's why he has the shield now.
Santa Claus?
Yes.
Sure.
By the way, I'm very glad that Stephen Colbert brought the shield with him to his new show.
Oh, yeah.
Late Night with Stephen Colbert. Yes. He brought Captain America's shield, and it's part of the set.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
How are you digging the new show?
I've only seen the first episode, which makes it almost equal with what I saw of Letterman. You know, I've seen one out of 2 weeks. One episode every 2 weeks, maybe. Actually, I guess that makes my average a little bit better than The Late Show with Letterman. But I liked it. I saw the premiere and I liked it. Did a really good job. I like that he has a cathedral ceiling with pictures of himself.
Cool.
Stained glass windows of himself all around. I think it's just projected on the ceiling, but it still looks cool.
That is pretty cool. So, all right, guys, we are starting to run out of time. That is going to do it for us. Welcome back, guys. I guess we are officially back. We've got a lot more nonsensicality coming out.
Oh, my God. So much good stuff happening.
Yes, and I'm not even going to tease any of it.
It was just us stupid morons this week, but rest assured, we've got tons of guests coming up.
The next few weeks, we've got a lot of stuff jam-packed into a bunch of our shows. So,
and Geektoberfest is right around the corner.
I know. That's why, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, I can't believe we got guest booked when we've got Geektoberfest. We got plans for that. We got all that going on, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be super crazy here in the studio for the next six to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that we might wind up having a Halloween party at some point in there, too.
Oh, boy.
So stay tuned. That's going to do it for us. I am Longshot Ken.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Big Papa Pete. Loud Idiots, out!
Been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.